Bless the Lord. It's an honor and a privilege to stand before you this morning. And at 6:49 this morning, my cell phone goes off, and I'm thinking it's either my dad or it's Brother Bill in the Ukraine. It was Brother Bill. Even though he's in the Ukraine, he's pastoring you because he's praying for the service and praying for us and praying for me and encouraging me. And so I do appreciate that. If you see in your bulletins, I'm honored because you'll notice Pastor Bill doesn't give up this pulpit to too many people, does he? So I'm definitely honored, and I pray that I bring glory to God, and I pray that I make him proud because you're blessed to have such an expository preacher. As a matter of fact, my natural bent nature is toward expository preaching. But this morning, we're going to be looking at a thematic message. This morning, we're going to be looking at good news for everyone in everywhere. And so as we think about what that means, and as we talk about being Great Commission Christians and being commanded, I want to tell you how much I appreciate this church. Because when I preach to this church, this is what I know. You are a Great Commission church. You are the ones who understand that we are called outside the walls of this church. I'm blessed to be your associational missionary. I work for you. Yes, I serve the local 66 churches, and I work with about 40 churches in West Virginia, and we're in the process of working with some more in Kentucky, extreme poverty in Kentucky. So everywhere I go, you pay my salary as you give to the Augusta Association of Baptist Churches. So and when I'm preaching revival, if I'm in West Virginia preaching revival, or if I'm doing a street crusade, or if I'm downtown, or if I'm ministering at the Broad Street Ministry Center, or if I'm ministering at the Augusta Mission Center, or if I'm anywhere in this state, that because of your generous giving to the co-op program for state work, but also this church supports us financially. More importantly, your pastor's a friend of mine. We get together and we pray, and boy, we have some great theological conversations. And so when I stand in this pulpit, I know I'm coming behind a man of God who preaches the Word of God by the authority of the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of the Word of God. And so I so much appreciate being your associational missionary as I serve you. And so if you have a copy of God's Word, today we're going to be looking at three passages of Scripture. Today we're going to be wanting to look at what, where, and who. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 18, 18 through 20, which I know we're familiar with, the Great Commission. Acts 1, 8, and Revelation 14, 6, and 7. I'd ask that you rise to your feet with the reading of God's Holy Word. That's going to be Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Acts 1:8 and Revelation 14, 6 and 7, which is the theme of your association, the Augusta Association of Baptist Churches. That is our theme in Revelation 14. So let us read this together. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Revelation 14. 6 and 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Let us pray. Father God, I want to thank you for another opportunity to worship you, God, to study your holy word, God. God, as we come into your house to bring praises to you, Lord. God, would you open up our hearts and our mind? And God, would you show us the relationship between the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, the Great Send, God, as you send us out. And God, finally, the great hope and promise that we have to all people groups, the good news. So God, I pray that you would be with us, God, as we hear from your word, and God, that we would respond accordingly, God. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. The body of Christ said, amen. There's a relationship and a correlation when you do a thematic message. And so there's something called tangential correlation. All that means is they relate to one another. And so when we look at these three passages of Scripture, the way they relate to each other is what, where, and who. Now, if you think there's a lot of words that have antonyms or have the opposites, like hot has cold, dark has light, right has wrong, smart has what? Foolish. Natural has unnatural. But also, if there is good news, there must be bad news, logically speaking. Bad news. We all know about bad news. All you got to do is turn on the television. As a matter of fact, sometime my wife and I, when we watch the news at night, we watch the whole broadcast, and by the end of the news, we say, is there anything good going on? You can watch CNN, you can watch Fox, any news programs, these broadcasts. It seems like only the bad things get coverage these days. Would you agree with that? So there's plenty of bad news going all around. But we as born-again believers, we are the true body of Christ, the true believers, we have good news. And that good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what we have is a problem. We have a sin problem. So the bad news, when you compare the good news with the bad news is every one of us is a sinner. There is none of us righteous, no, not one. We have fallen and we can't get up. And we don't have the little clicker to call EMS. I mean, we are fallen. We are sinners by choice and by nature. So every one of us has sin sickness and we have a problem. But God's got a solution. So the good news is this. Every person who's lost in sin can turn from sin and self and turn to someone, and that someone is the Savior, Jesus Christ. My doctorate is in childhood evangelism, so God blesses me and I go around the country and I go to other places and I share Jesus with little children. And I share this with the children that all of us are sinners. We all do things that hurt God's heart. And I want you to know something today. A child gets saved the same way. A student gets saved the same way. A teen gets saved the same way. An adult gets saved the same way. A senior adult gets saved the same way. And that's what we must repent. We must turn from sin and self and turn to someone, and that someone is a Savior. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Luke 13:3, he says, "Nay, I say, except you repent, you will likewise perish." So we have to understand this sin sickness that we have. But we have the medication. We have the elixir. We have that which can save the soul, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we share this good news. It's exciting when I come here to this church, because you, your church, this local body of Christ, you are a Great Commission church. How do we know that? Where's your pastor at right now? Ukraine. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. So when I come to you, I come here to encourage you and to thank you for your prayers and your support and the friendship I have with folks here at this church. Thank you so much. As your missionary, everywhere I go, I take a piece of you with me as you pay my salary. And I thank you for that. So this morning, as we look at this issue, there's three aspects that we want to look at. The what, the where, and the who. So when we look at the Great Commission, there is the what. What is this good news? What should we do? This is what we should do. We should reach, we should teach, and we should baptize. So when we look at what the good news is, what are we to do? We are to reach the lost with the gospel. We're to share with lost people who are dying in sin and going to a real devil's hell. See, this is one of them pulpits I can talk about heaven and hell, because I know your pastor. He preaches and teaches on heaven and hell, don't he? A real heaven and a real hell. So everybody's going to hell unless they get saved. And so what we're to do as the body of Christ, to be a great commissioned Christian, we are commanded, according to what we just read, to share the good news. We are to reach them with the gospel. Next thing, we are to teach. We are to teach the lost and the saved. We're to be disciples making disciples. So we should teach the good news. We should preach the good news. We should live the good news. Why? Because there's nothing but bad news all around us. People are hungry for some good news. As a matter of fact, you know what the mission of Jesus was? The mission of Jesus was found in Luke 19:10. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did Emmanuel, God with us, incarnate God, why did he leave glory and come to this earth? Jesus says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Jesus has come for the lost, that they may be saved. And that is good news for a lost and dying world that's going to hell. But we're also to baptize. Now that's believers baptized. One hope, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. So we should reach with the gospel. We should teach the gospel. And we should follow up with believers baptism. For those who have repented and turned away from sin and self and turned to someone, and that someone's the Savior Jesus Christ, next they should follow in believers baptism. But secondly, look at Acts 1:8. "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." But watch this. You wonder about the where? Here's the where. Jerusalem. Jerusalem, for our context, Jerusalem is Evans, Georgia. So we're to share the gospel here in Evans, Georgia. Judea, other states, or throughout the state of Georgia. So we are to be involved as the church, as the body of Christ, for telling the good news in Evans, our Jerusalem, and Judea, throughout Georgia and other states. But what about Samaria? People not like us. People maybe of other religions or other persuasions. We should share the gospel with them also. But not at the uttermost parts of the earth. What a perfect morning to preach this message. Y'all got 9 people in the Ukraine. That's sort of like the uttermost parts of the earth, isn't it? You see, when I first began in ministry, and I'm from South Louisiana, when I was young, you go to convenience stores or you go to hotels, and practically all the convenience stores and all the hotels just about were either managed or owned by middle-class white people. You go to Houma, Louisiana now, most of the convenience stores are owned by Middle Easterners. Most of the hotels are owned by other ethnicities. So even in my hometown, the world has come to us. It used to be to engage foreigners or to do foreign missions, we had to get on a plane or a train or go somewhere else. We don't have to do that. You say, "Prove it, Dr. B." Here's your proof. In Evans, Georgia, in this area, Columbia County, there are 38 different languages and dialects spoken right here. In Richmond County, there's 41 different languages and dialects right here. We have failed to take the gospel to the world, so guess what God is doing? Bringing the gospel to who? Us. Us. The Augusta Association of Baptist Churches, we have language churches. We have language groups that we reach out. We have a Chinese pastor. We have a Korean pastor. We have a Vietnamese pastor in some of our churches. I really need you to pray for us, because we need a Hispanic pastor. We need a Hispanic work here in our CSRA, because the Hispanics from all over the country, from all over the world, from other countries are coming here in our area. The Hispanic population is growing, and God is telling us, listen, yes, you can go to Spain and do a mission trip. Hallelujah. We should take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. But listen to me, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God is bringing the world to us. I believe God's going to hold us accountable and responsible. So would you pray? We've been praying about, and your church and your pastor, we're in prayer to start a Hispanic work in this area. Would you pray for a man of peace? That God would send us a pastor. Because to do foreign missions, we can do them right here at home. Lots of times when I talk about these three aspects, people say, but wait, Dr. B, I'm not called. Every member a missionary. We are commissioned and we are commanded. If you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God is calling you to engage a lost world with the good news of Jesus Christ. So God's calling all of us to share our faith, to be great commissioned Christians as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ as true believers. Over the years, I've had many opportunities to share the gospel. Thank God to the Southern Baptist churches and y'all's blessing me and my seminary background. And I was a pastor for over 19 and a half years. The last church I pastored, Chattanooga Valley Baptist Church in the northwest corner of Georgia. If you ever know where Chickamauga is, Flintstone, Georgia. Yabba-dabba-doo, right? So that area of Georgia is about 13 miles south of Chattanooga. So I'd always tease them. And when I went to North Louisiana, because I'm South Louisiana is where I was raised from and raised at, I would always tease them as I went to North Louisiana and then I went to Georgia. I would tell them, listen, I ride around all this roadkill y'all see. Where I'm from, we call that supper. You got to realize, I'm 100% Cajun. Boudreaux, my mom who recently passed away, Chauvin, and I married a LeBlanc. You can't get more Cajun than that. Any of y'all ever watch Swamp People, where they kill the gators? Okay. Do you see the John Paul, do you see the father and the son? The Indians from Ile-Jean-Charles? My wife is from Berg, Louisiana. How we get the best thing out of the swamp in Louisiana. And that's my wife. She was raised about 11 miles from where they kill those alligators on TV. Ile-Jean-Charles, home of Louisiana. Yes, there's actually an hour south of New Orleans in the swamp called Houma, Louisiana. And so I've been exposed to all kinds of different cultures just from being raised that way. So when I pastored Chattanooga Valley Baptist Church, and when I went up there in Georgia and I would share these things with them, they say, Pastor, you eat everything? I said, I eat almost everything. I don't eat no buzzards and I don't eat no possum. The last service this morning, I was actually surprised. How many of you ever ate frogs? Raise your hands. See? How many of you ever ate alligators? Raise your hand. Now, I usually get most people on this one. How many of you ever ate snails? Raise your hand. Oh, wait a minute. Lots of people did. Snails. Big nose? So this is almost like country. I can take this jacket off and go country style with y'all, right? You see, when we deal with all these different people groups, it's different cultures, correct? And so the gospel tells us we're all different, but we all have the same sickness and the same problem with sin, and we need a Savior, and the Savior's Jesus Christ. So we have the good news. We got to go out and share the good news. But not only do we know the what, the Great Commission, as true believers, commissioned and commanded believers to go out, not only do we have the where, our Jerusalem, Evans, Georgia. So blessed in this church to see all the different ministries you're involved in. And y'all support us financially. And the Augusta Mission Center, the things we're doing there, the things at Broad Street. Please pray. Miss Kay Morris passed away and we're in the process of finding another director of the Broad Street Ministry Center. And all that inner city and all what we do is a ministry because of the giving of this church. And I never take that lightly. But in all these cultural expressions, if we just stopped with Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8, we wouldn't have a complete view. That's why this is a thematic message and not an expository message. So when we look at Revelation 14:6 and 7, which is the theme of our association, of the Augusta Association of Baptist Churches. It says the gospel, the good news, the eternal messenger with the eternal message, the everlasting gospel. The methodology changes over the years, but the message never changes. And that is Jesus Christ saves, and everybody needs to be saved by the power of the Holy Spirit drawing us from sin and saving us because of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So that's what I've always told people. When we look at Jesus' mission, not only did Jesus say, nay, except you will likewise perish in Luke 13:3, but his mission statement, Jesus' mission statement, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That's why he came with us. That's why I repeat myself by design in some of my messages. Every now and then somebody says, well, Dr. B, do you realize you repeat yourself? I say, yeah. They say, why? Because I hang around with children all the time and I share the gospel with them, and it helps that they hear the same thing more than once. By the way, it helps me when I hear something more than once. The older I get, the harder it is to remember. And so the message is this: because of the sin sickness, the first great writing theologian, St. Augustine. Well, if you like where I'm from, we got St. Augustine grass. We call him St. Augustine. He said, every person is created with a God-sized hole in their heart that only God can fill. One of the early great writing theologians, Augustine, says, every person is born with a God-sized hole in their heart that only God can fill. In other words, everyone needs God, everyone needs a Savior. So when we look at this particular passage of Scripture, so when we bring all three of these things together, when we show the correlation, when we show the relationship to these passages of Scripture, now we have the what? The who. The what? The where? And now the who. To every nation. That's the word where we get the word ethnos from. Ethnicity. In other words, it don't matter who your mama is or who your mama isn't. Who your mama or your daddy is and who your daddy isn't. And where I'm from, who they ain't. Doesn't matter. It does not matter your ethnicity, because the supreme gospel, the everlasting gospel, look at your passage, look right there, that word everlasting gospel, the eternal truth, the truth does not change, God is immutable, God changes not, his truth does not change. So this message is for every ethnicity, every nation, but also the word kindred. When we look at the word kindred, it's the idea of race, clan, kindred, family. So what this is telling us, the Great Commission, as true believers, we're commanded, we're commissioned to go. We got that. Then where do we go? Our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. But this who is very important. Because Jesus died for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That word world, that's every human being. So not only do we have the eternal message, the everlasting gospel, the eternal truth, we also know we are sent to what? Every nation. And now that we know that all these nations are coming to Augusta, Georgia, as a matter of fact, it'll be 6 years I'll be your associational missionary in August. So I've learned a whole lot about Augusta. And many, many people throughout Richmond County I've talked to, especially the elders, they can remember when this area only had maybe 5 to 7 different ethnic groups. How many of you have been living here at least 50, 60 years? Raise your hand. Any of y'all 70 years? 60 years. How much has this area changed? The world has come to us. It is our accountability, and we are responsible. We're both accountable and responsible. It's our accountability to God to share the gospel with every tribe, with every kindred, with every family, and with every ethnicity. But also that passage right there says every what? tongue. Every language group. We are blessed and be part of the Southern Baptist Convention. I know we hear a lot of negative about us, but we got some positive too. I'm indebted to y'all. When this church and our 54,000 churches give to the cooperative program, it put me in a position to matriculate. And all that means is I got a seminary degree and spent 6 years in New Orleans Seminary to give me the audience and the opportunity with the seminary degree I have. Thank God for Southern Baptist. We're not perfect. But when it comes to missionaries and when it comes to missions and when it comes to planting churches, God is blessing us. God calls us to all people groups. When I was in seminary, I was the pastor to the Oslinos people. I was their pastor for 5.5 years. Most perfect Spanish dialect spoken in the United States of America is spoken on Delacroix Island, Louisiana, to the Oslinos people. Third oldest settlement in the history of the United States. St. Augustine, Florida, number one. Delacroix Island, number three. I was their pastor, went knocking on doors. And I would share Jesus with them. Total different ethnicity. Short, fat, white dudes sharing the gospel with Oslinos people. And I loved them. And they loved me. And because of your generous gifts, while I was a seminary student, while I was earning my degrees, I was blessed to be their pastor, and we saw a movement of God. We saw a movement of God that transcended culture, that transcended the Roman Catholic Church, that transcended the Pentecostals, that transcended Jehovah's Witness, that transcended the Mormons, because the gospel of Jesus Christ, those folks started getting saved up and down the bayou of South Louisiana, and we start seeing them get saved, and I started dunking them, and I started baptizing them in the bayou in the name of Jesus, according to the word of God. Baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. What if I didn't believe that? What if when I went down to Delacroix Island with my wife and my two children, and we went drive down there, and we went see this island and say, there's nothing but mosquitoes and sandflies, and I was right in the middle of a great movement of God. God was blessing the church that I was at. We was growing exponentially. And God said, You remember the story about Philip? The great movement, Acts 1:8? Yeah, Father, I know. So we go down to Delacroix Island, we pitch a tent, we pitch a blanket, and we put a kite up in the air with my children, and I look over my shoulder, and there's a big sign. You want to know what it said? End of the World Marina. And I looked at my wife, she looked at me. Are we coming to here? She says, honey, I think we are. So we left a flourishing church on the corner of I-10 and Veterans Highway in Metairie, Louisiana, growing like gangbusters. And the next thing you know, God said, go. And me and my wife and my two children started knocking on doors to the Oslinos people on Delacroix Island. And people started getting saved. And you know what I was preaching and teaching? Christ in Him crucified. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man boast. Sacraments can't save you. A pope can't save you. A bishop can't save you. A preacher can't save you. A deacon can't save you. Nobody can save you except Jesus Christ. And coming under His shed blood. There's only one way, and that's the blood-bought way. And that was the basic message. Sharon, I wasn't running down other religions. I didn't need to do that. I was preaching the truth that Jesus saves. And the Spirit of God came upon that ministry. Thank you, Southern Baptist. As I was getting my education, God sent me to a people group way different than me. I got pictures. If you ever want to come by my office, I can show you pictures. The only problem is you come by my office, I start showing you pictures, it'll be about 3 hours before you leave. I believe it. I live it. But you know what? He's calling you too. But as you look at this passage, and you look at every family, every tribe, every kindred, then if you look at every tongue, no matter what language, Isn't it wonderful to know that we have our missionaries around the world and this United States sharing the gospel in multiple languages, planting churches in multiple cultures, in multiple languages? You are part of that. When you look at the last part, before I get to my conclusion, when you look at the last part of this, it says to all what? People. So not only do you have every nation, kindred, every tongue, but it goes on to a triple emphatic, not a double emphatic. And that is this eternal gospel, this everlasting gospel, this eternal message is to all ethnicity, to all families, to all kindred, to all tribes, to all tongues, to all languages. And if we don't get it, look what it says in verse 6. To all what? Look, somebody shouted out. To all what? People! I think that covers just about everybody, right? So we're called to deliver the gospel and share the good news to all people. In conclusion, not only is the gospel the good news for everyone and everywhere, but when I look at Romans 1, 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries who's ever lived, this is what he said. For I am not ashamed of the good news. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is to the Jew first. Jesus came to his own, but they knew him not. He came to the Jews and they rejected him as the chief cornerstone. They killed my Jesus. They put him on the cross. They nailed him. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Yes, the Roman government was part of it, but his own people, the Jews, turned on Jesus. And when they had a chance to release Jesus, what did they say? Give us Barabbas. Then the governor, and we see this Gentile governor Pilate say, then what shall I do with this one Jesus that's called Christ? And what did the crowd yell? Crucify him. Crucify him. And then God raises up Paul, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. Now, I may have an ethnic Jew in here. The gospel's for you. But the majority of us, we're Gentiles. The majority of us are Gentiles. So what it's saying here is the gospel, the good news to which he's not ashamed, went to the Jew first, then he went to the Gentiles. Here's the good news, Gentile, because I'm a blood-bought child of God, because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because of these factors, as a child of God, God is my daddy. How do I know that? Because I am a child of adoption, the Word says. I've been grafted into the vine. Because of that, the good news not only is for the Jew, but it's also for me, because now I'm saved by the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. And I know that I'm saved because I have surrendered to this good news. I've accepted this good news with all this bad news that's all around us. What Paul is saying is this: the gospel, the good news, Jesus saved. And we think about the bad news, that we've all fallen and we can't get up. When we think of the fact there's none righteous, no, not one. When we think of the fact that we're all sinners, all that people who are lost need to hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. To who? Everyone. Everywhere. You get it? The good news is for everyone, everywhere. So with the sin sickness and all the bad news that's around us, tag, you're it. If you're a born-again believer, if you've been saved, if your sins have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, every member, a missionary. He said, well, Dr. B, you got them degrees and you got that experience? I don't know. You can be a missionary in your own house, maybe. What about your neighborhood? What about your Jerusalem? Is God talking to you today? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior to come into your heart and save your life? He'll do it. Ask Jesus into your heart, he'll save you. If he could save me, he could save anybody. But maybe you're saved. You've thought about missions. Some of you might be thinking, I wonder what it'd be like to be in Ukraine. Some of you are thinking, man, I'm not getting on them planes. But God has brought the world to Evans. Maybe God is calling you to reach out into your home, into your neighborhood, into your community. Sometimes we think about missionaries as paid people like myself, and I've expressed my appreciation. But the truth of the matter, every disciple should be making disciples. Your mission, mommies and daddies, your first mission is your children in your home. Grandmas, grandpas, your children's not in church, you focus on them grandchildren. You tell them about Jesus. That makes you a missionary to what? Kindred. Do you get that? Kindred. Tribe. Clan. Your neighborhood. See? You're going to be a missionary in your home, in your neighborhood, on your street. You can come tell Brother Bill, I'm a street missionary. I've been sharing the gospel and sharing my faith with my friends in my neighborhood. That's the work of a missionary. So when we think about this of what and who and where, is God speaking to your heart this morning? Do you need to be saved? Or maybe you just want to come to this altar and God's been impressing upon your heart. You're under conviction. You have that feeling. You know you're supposed to be doing something. Because we're saved to serve and not saved to sit. Y'all can write that one down. That's pretty cool, huh? You are saved to serve and not saved to sit. Maybe you've been sitting too long. You say, well, Dr. B, I'm not young anymore. Hey, look at me. Does I look young to y'all? God can use you. I'm so thankful for all these senior adults. Our goal this year is 80,000 backpacks to West Virginia. State of Georgia is 40,000. Our association is 2,000. I'm praying right now for 600 coats. I'm going to be putting coats on some of the poorest children in this United States of America, and I'll be sharing the Evangel Cube with them and sharing how Jesus saves them, how Jesus loves them. And as your missionary, I'll be delivering them food, clothes, coats, and backpacks back to school because you guys are involved in these missions, in these ministries. See? Can you pack a backpack? Can you bless me to go to Phelps, West Virginia? Hartz, West Virginia in Phelps, Kentucky? And gather the children around. Hang on. We're going to give you Kool-Aid. Yeah. But let me tell you the greatest story that ever was. Do y'all ever want to hear the greatest stories there was? And I can share with them what I share with you. We're all sinners. But if we turn from sin and self and turn to someone, that someone's the Savior, Jesus Christ, he can save you. See. And y'all can pray. Every one of us can be part of missions. I thank Grace Evans. I thank Pastor Bill Hilly. I thank y'all because this is one of my churches that's a great commissioned church. But how about you? Are you involved? Maybe today's the day you say, you know what? I'm under conviction. I need to be involved in missions and come to the altar and pray. Maybe you just lost and you need to get saved. Today is the acceptable day of salvation. As we all rise to our feet, let us all rise to our feet. I want to pray with you. This altar is going to be open. I know Brother Bill's not here, but guess what? You can get saved even when the pastor's not here. We'll have some leaders and some deacons up front. I think he would be excited and rejoicing in Ukraine if he found out somebody got saved today. But maybe you're saved. And maybe this old idea about mission work and a missionary, you see a guy come in a suit and you go, that's a missionary. What if it's you, every member a missionary? And maybe you've never done mission work. Young people, whoo, what I've seen God do with students in mission work. Is God speaking to your heart today? Do you need to get saved? Do you need to pray for Jesus Christ to come into your heart? That you admit that you're a sinner and you're willing to turn away from that sin and turn to Jesus and ask Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Is that you? If it is, you need to come forward. We'll pray with you. Maybe there's someone at the sound of my voice. You're under conviction. You want to get involved with missions, but in your mind today, you was enlightened. Your thought process was over. You don't have to get on a plane or train. You can do mission work right here in Evans, Georgia. Is that you today? Do you need to make a commitment at the altar today to come pray? If that's you, the altar's open. Oh, Father, lead a heart, lead a soul. Do that which you can do and come to the altar of grace.